Welcome to my super secret podcast. I started this show for the purpose of having a platform where I can say and discuss whatever I want. I have another podcast, but after receiving pushback from relatives about some of the content, I figured the only way to get around this was to have a secret podcast that they didn't know about. I don't know if this is a good idea, but I guess I'll find out. I'm James, your secret host. This show is going to be about news, tech, a little entertainment, and anything else I feel like talking about. I'm open to suggestions, so feel free to email me at mysupersecretpodcast@gmail.com. Come join me on this journey, and together we will see where this all goes. So, what's going on? Not much has changed as far as the pandemic is concerned, other than the shelter-in-place order was extended until at least May 29th in the area where I live. People around here are acting as if it's already over, at least during the day. I see them walking around in groups without masks or social distancing. In stores that don't have a security guard enforcing the mandatory mask rule, people don't bother to wear one. Well, more power to them. It's their choice. Daytime vehicle traffic is almost to pre-pandemic levels, and that's one thing I don't like. I kind of got used to being able to drive without being slowed down by traffic. When I can, I'll stock up on toilet paper, paper towels, sanitary wipes, etc., in case there's a second wave like the experts are predicting, which will hit in the fall. Cool tech. Details have leaked over the upcoming Apple augmented reality glasses, or spectacles as our English cousins refer to them. They will look like normal glasses and not like the cyborg attachment that the failed Google Glass looked like. I wear glasses and I'm very interested in this product. Of course, I'd have to know what functionality is included and if it would be of any benefit to justify the cost. Another benefit is maybe I won't have to haul around a large screen phone any longer. I can go back to a normal size screen, like 5.4 inches versus the 6.5 inch screen phone I currently haul around with me. Team this up with an Apple Watch with cellular service and you wouldn't have to keep pulling your phone out all the time. I'll be keeping an eye out, pun intended, on this new product. What I'm watching. I just finished binge-watching Making of the Mob on AMC via Pluto TV. Have I ever mentioned how much I love Pluto TV? I'm sure I have. Anyway, the title says it all. It's a great documentary that gives you real facts, not the dramatized movie versions of the beginnings of that organization and the people who came before its creation. If you haven't already, sign up for Pluto TV. The price is right. It's free. What I'm listening to. Lately, my podcast listening has really gone down. I primarily used to listen while driving to work and back and just driving around in general. Now I usually only listen when I go to bed via the Amazon Echo. I never seem to make it past the first 20 minutes before I fall asleep, so it's kind of a waste. I mainly listen to a couple of podcasts now, and they both have one thing in common. They are less than 10 minutes in length. One is the Overnight Underground News, which is an almost parody of the day's top news stories. The other is coronavirus global update from the good old BBC. One show entertains and informs, while the other just informs, and both can be listened to in a very reasonable amount of time. War story. I know all these stories so far have been what I experienced in the military. It's not like I haven't had any other experiences since I left that life. It's just that I can't talk about the details of the job I currently hold. That will be changing soon as I get ready to retire. So this story is also from the military. The story took place in the city of Oxford, England, during the late 1970s. I was a teenage slick sleeve who had hooked up with an older and with much more life experience GI who would become like an older brother to me. We are still close friends to this day. His name is Rick, and he convinced me to move off the base to a house downtown. The first place we rented was in a small village outside the city of Chippy Norton. While it was nice, we spent most of our weekends partying in Oxford. That city had a great crowd of college students and blue-collar workers from the local automobile manufacturer. I think it was called British Leyland. I think they're out of business now. The bars were great, and the live music was even better. So Rick decided we should just move there. Makes sense. We moved to a small house outside the city, which had a great view of the skyline. The place even had a name. It was called Tudor Lodge. Like its name, it was in the Tudor style. The owners worked for the British government and were constantly out of the country. I spent the weekend days going to concerts at the Oxford New Theatre, and the nights partying at the Rat Skelter, and would end the evening at a place called the Monk's Retreat, which was located within an old tunnel built and used by monks back in ancient times. It featured a mandolin player, and we liked the two attractive barmaids who flirtingly attended to us. One Saturday evening, while getting ready to hit the city, I noticed Rick just sitting there watching television. When I asked him what time we were leaving, he told me he wasn't going out that night. It was his birthday, and he said to me that that was the one night he didn't leave the house because every time he did that on that day, he wound up getting into a fight. He then related to me a horrible event that occurred on an Indian reservation in his home state of Michigan the last time he had attempted to go out and celebrate this yearly occasion. I won't retell that story here because I'd probably get booted off all the podcast platforms. I kept at him until after an hour or so he agreed to go out. We headed to Oxford and had a great and peaceful evening out on the town. Closing time came and we headed back to where our car was located. Now the city of Oxford has a central parking lot located in the middle of the city. You couldn't just park along the streets. This cut down on traffic and congestion, and it provided a way to raise revenue by forcing you to pay for parking. It was on our way to that parking lot where Rick's birthday curse reared its head. Just before the parking area, there was located an old fire station. I don't know if it was still active, but Rick noticed there appeared to be live music drifting out from it. Still in the mood to celebrate, Rick suggested we go in and see what was going on. We must have timed it just right because there was a desk set up like to check IDs and stuff, but it was unmanned. We continued in there and there was a party going on packed with people. The band playing was the first punk band I had ever seen and I just stood there, transfixed, staring at the way they were dressed. Rick drifted away from me and I continued staring at the band. A short time later, a guy came flying by me and landed amongst the crowd on the dance floor. Rick came up from behind me and said, "I think this guy wants to fight." This broke me out of my trance and I drunkenly advanced towards the dance floor and the formerly flying guy and gave him the middle finger. He looked at me confused because English people don't use that gesture, so then I just told him what it meant. We both started towards each other, but I was stopped by a woman who asked me not to start a fight. I was paused long enough for Rick to grab me by the arm, saying as he did so, "Let's get out of here." We did and quickly found our car and left. Neither of us said a word on the 15-minute drive home. We both went straight to bed upon arriving at our house, which was unusual because we usually had a snack after a hard night of partying. Back then, I was an early riser no matter how late I went to bed the night before, so I awoke before Rick and got something to eat and then settled into some drama on television. A couple of hours later, Rick came downstairs still in his underwear and thanked me for attempting to defend him at the fire station. I'd kind of forgotten the previous night's events and asked him to fill me in. The gathering at the fire station was a private party and we had managed to crash it. While I was standing there mesmerized by the punk rock band, Rick worked the room looking for a female companion for the rest of the evening. It was his birthday, after all. While talking to a potential companion, a man ran up on him and kneed him in the balls and punched him in the face. Rick, stunned, just stood there and laughed. He's a tough guy. The guy repeated the maneuver, but this time Rick retaliated with an overhand right. This sent the man flying, and that's when I became involved. As proof, he showed me a bruise on his inner thigh and pulled down his bottom lip, revealing a cut on its inner side. Rick then noticed a group of men closing in on me and knew what they intended to do. That's when he grabbed my arm and got us out of there. He said, "I told you, man, I have bad luck when I go out on my birthday." This time, I took him more seriously than I had before. Conspiracy. Okay, kids, dust off that old tinfoil hat and place it firmly on your head. I'll wait. You ready? With the recent release of documents relating to the alleged DNC, Democratic National Committee, for all those that don't know what that meant, mail server hack, and the so-called Russian collusion investigation, one of the numerous things that stand out for me is about the DNC email server hack, or the alleged server hack. The company hired to investigate Counter-Strike testified to Congress that they found no evidence of a hack. Now, I seem to remember that at the time, the official story was that Russian malware was detected on the server, and there was proof that the Russians had hacked the server. That's not what the company told Congress during secret hearings. Now, remember WikiLeaks? That's the organization headed by Julian Assange, who made his bones by releasing a trove of classified military and diplomatic correspondence given to him by the traitor U.S. Army private Manning. Note the contents of the information release didn't come from a hack. Fast forward a couple of years or so, and WikiLeaks dumps the DNC server emails onto the internet. You remember those, right? The weird Podesta messages referencing pizza, spirit cooking, and other strange things, along with equally weird photos? That's when the DNC stated that after an investigation by CrowdStrike, that the conclusion was that Russian hackers had done it and given the emails to WikiLeaks. There are a couple of things that don't make sense to me, though. First off, the FBI was never allowed to do any forensics on the server. I found that a bit odd, don't you? Also, Julian Assange, during an interview, said that he didn't get the emails from the Russians and that the info dump was leaked to him by an individual who didn't get the emails from a hack, but rather obtained it himself because he was on the inside. I'm not a fan of WikiLeaks or Mr. Assange, but what motive would he have to lie about his source? And look how he's being treated and where he's at now. Hillary Clinton even wanted to drone him at one point. So with the release of the CrowdStrike testimony saying that there was no direct evidence of a hack, where did the info from the server come from? Answer, maybe Seth Rich. Does anybody remember this poor young man? He worked for the DNC in Washington, D.C. and had access to that server. On July 10, 2016, right after WikiLeaks dumped those DNC emails onto the intertubes, Mr. Rich was found beaten and shot on a street in Washington, D.C., near his home. He was taken to a hospital, but shortly died. The police theorized that it was a robbery gone wrong, but nothing seemed to be stolen. With the testimony to Congress from the company hired to investigate the leak, stating that they couldn't find any evidence of a hack, in my opinion, this conspiracy theory has grown some legs. What do you think? I've got a shout out this week. So the shout out goes to Mr. Derek Wilder of the I'm Up Are You Sports podcast. Thank you for the thumbs up. Check his show out. I have, and it's worth a listen. Well, it's time to get up and get out of here. I'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. If you have any suggestions or criticisms, you can contact me at mysupersecretpodcast@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you. And if you get a chance, listen to my other podcast, Old Fart, New Tech, OFNT. Remember, don't tell anybody about this. It's our secret. Take care, guys. I'll see you later.